You heard me say before, when you visit a lot of elderly people in some of the nursing homes, for lack of a better term, assisted living and so forth, when they get old, they return to their childlike state. They like the color and the coloring books. They like to have people read the newspapers to them and all that, because that's what Jesus was saying. Because we're all going to enter into the kingdom of God at one time, but we got to come in childlike faith. God loves the children. All month, as I mentioned, the readings detailed about Jesus' leadership lessons for his often hard-headed disciples. Anybody know about anything about being hard-headed? Judy tells me I'm the hard-headedest man that she's ever met in her life. I don't know about that, but that's what she says. But the disciples were just as hard-headed, because they deeply were entrenched into the laws and the tradition and cultural assumptions and more about the current society they lived in. It was Jewish, Greek, and Roman, Jews and Gentiles. So it's significant to note that throughout these lessons, Jesus has a child on his lap or by his side. The passage that I read today, people, most likely especially women, obviously, hearing his defense of children and his countercultural views of the day, valuing them as equal members among his followers, not to mention his defense of women and his pronouncement of divorce. Because if you remember that day and time, it was a patriarchal society and only men had power. Crowds of them had begun bringing their children to Jesus to be blessed. And his disciples viewed this as a huge breach of decorum and began not only to protest, but to speak sternly to them. The word in Greek, which I'm not going to try to pronounce that Greek word, all I know is what it means. It means to rebuke, to reprimand, to reprove, to instruct with a harsh disciplinary tone. In response, Jesus is very indignant. He's angry, in fact. And Jesus did get angry about a lot of things. In the temple, he threw over the money changers. But he was very incensed about this. He just spent all afternoon trying to teach his disciples the lessons about treatment of others and their role as uplifting leaders, if you would. And now this, after all that time, he's saying to himself, "Self, they haven't learned anything." It's no wonder that Jesus became exasperated frequently with his errant disciples. They continually act out not out of their learning, but out of their embedded traditions, their embedded learned instincts, and more importantly, their cultural habits. So once again, Jesus corrects them, saying, "Let the children come to me, do not stop them, for it is such as these, the kingdom of God belongs to them. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." Childlike faith. And then he takes them into his arms and he lays his hands on them and he blesses them. Jesus, God, is a huge lover of children. He is the most countercultural leader that they have ever experienced. Unlearning traditions and social mores that maybe they have grown up with and have been surrounded with their entire life. It's hard. We behave out of our beliefs and our assumptions, and these have been formed for most of us long ago by, guess who? Our parents, our family, who we were raised with. The people who have raised us up, the people who have made an impact in our lives by our own experience and for watching and learning from those who came before us. You probably heard the expression that children learn more from what you do than what you say. And that's the reason that Jesus needs to break the generational assumptions that are driving his current culture. Otherwise, they will continue to pass on their cultural assumptions to the next generation of children. And that's something that Jesus, as old Barney Fife said, he wants to nip it in the bud. It's harder than it might seem to do that. A Jewish man, Jesus' inner leadership group, has entered into their time of learning with Jesus, bringing along with them lessons that they have learned from their fathers and their mothers and from their synagogue leaders and from their pious religious training from the priests and the Pharisees and the temple or the church. And from their colleagues and families. The Jewish community tended to be a tight-knit group, and one of the reasons for this over time was due to their adherence to all the laws. God gave Moses 10. Now, in Israel, in the modern Jewish tradition, they have like 567 laws. I don't remember the exact number, but the basic 10 had grew every time they had a challenge. Well, we'll make another law. We'll just add it. So it's one of the reasons over time that they were running into these problems. So there was a sense of coherence and identity and community and, more important, faith. And one of those lessons involved was the hierarchical understanding of family, community, Jew versus Gentile, servant versus free, children and men and women and so forth. And despite all the attempts that Jesus was given to them, example after example, as we looked in the last few weeks in the scriptures, they still don't get it. They continue acting out of their bias, as we might put it today, rather than acting out of a new paradigm. A paradigm is only a sense of how things should be done. We look at a paradigm, we follow this paradigm, and we say, well, we need a new paradigm. Well, Jesus has given them a new paradigm that they may learn and listen with interest to him, but their actions continually default to the old settings, to use a computer term. Finally, Jesus loses patience with them, and when his disciples began reprimanding the children for coming up to him to be blessed, he lashes out angrily at them and pushes them aside, and he invites the children to come forward. Now, I think maybe this lesson is vitally important for all of us today. This care, don't scare attitude is paramount, not only for children, but for parents today in today's culture. And yet, I'm betting that all of us have experienced that in a church setting from time to time, or at another church where you might have visited, that somebody has given you the side eye at a minimum or a reprimand. You're not taking care of your, well, Judy used to take a paddle to church and she used to get criticized for it, and she laid it and she never had to use it in church, but that paddle was right there, and the kids knew if they acted up, they'd probably get it because they had experience with her giving it to them other times. Not in church, but other times. So they behaved. So how many of us have experienced this in the church that you might have attended, or even here, or even these responses are learned behaviors that come from the way we were raised to behave in church? Especially in some denominational and Protestant churches, in which setting, folding your hands, or immovable during worship was sanctioned behavior in times past. So where does all this culture stuff come from? Where does all of this, how do you deal with it, where does it come from? Well, I can tell you it doesn't come from Jesus or the scriptures. Just the opposite. In fact, I'm absolutely positive that if Jesus was present with us today, and he is, but in the spiritual sense, not the physical sense, but the spiritual sense, but if he was here physically today, I think he would say the exact same thing that the circumstances that he said to his disciples a couple thousand years earlier. Let the children come to me. Let them be. Don't reprimand them. Do not trip them up and cause them to lose faith. Don't infuse into them your biases or your rigidness or your man-made rules and your exclusive traditions. Don't let these kind of bad behavior by adults and leaders within the church go on for one more generation. No, he said, let the children be children. I like that. Let the children be children, for these belong to the kingdom of God. In fact, I think if we take it a step further, unless each of us as adults start letting go of all of our rigid rules, I think maybe your self-mask of self-righteousness or reprimanding and judgmental tone and tongue and your scare tactics towards these little innocent, faith-filled, authentic, and real you'll never enter the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but I want to enter into the kingdom of God. And I'm going to come like a little kid. Lord, here I am. Forgive me for all of my stuff that I did. And I want to be there. Well, people, these are harsh words of Jesus. I got a whole book that somebody put together, the hard sayings of Jesus. The Bible is full of it. And they are hard. Because my humble opinion, the only time the truth hurts is when you're not in harmony with the truth. And Jesus is truth. Jesus is not merely making a statement about children. He's making a statement about how we treat people in general. He's making a statement about what the kingdom of God needs to look like on this earth right now in our community and all of our churches. And we resist listening to Jesus' words sometimes, these important passages, to our detriment. Now, I don't know about you, but I've seen this happen myself. Every pastor, every leader, every disciple of Jesus has an inherent and serious responsibility to defend the children. Women, those who are labeled different in any way, who live in our community or come to our church, we're called to cherish them. We're called to bless them and protect them and their faith, not only in Jesus, but in humankind. We're the only Jesus sometimes that people ever see, and our actions sometimes not so good. Oh, I get it too as a pastor. I get passionate about things sometimes. And sometimes when I get passionate about something, to me it's a legitimate concern. And I'm trying to get my point across. I get passionate. And I hear it sometimes. And you're a pastor and you're talking to me like that? Yeah. I'm a child of God, but I'm also a God. God has granted me grace. And you're not following along with it, and if you don't listen to what I'm talking about, I don't know how else to tell you, except I get passionate. I'm not mad, I'm just passionate. I don't know. So I do it, and I think we all experience it. We're simply called to be compassionate. A loving nature, a caring spirit, but we are also called to take up the cross and bear the responsibility and the accountability of our congregations, our community, our neighbors, and to defend the weak, protect the innocent, and give voice to the voiceless. We're called to take a responsibility and accountability, take discipleship seriously. Being a disciple of Jesus is not for sissies. I mean, it's hard work. It's tough. Not only to listen to the words that Jesus tells us and teaches us, but to take them to heart, to struggle with them, to allow Jesus to come into our heart and our lives to change us and mold us and shape us and make us into people who create new and alternative forms of community, a community of love and grace. Although there's consequences with things, and we have to teach that too.